We're here on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis, and we'll begin with Rabbi Akiva Nami. So let's see if we can find the place on Daf Mem Dalet Amud Beis. It's really in the middle of the Daf, and the Gemara is going to now ask Akasha on Rabbi Akiva. We had established that Rabbi Akiva derives Tam Ki Ikar from Basa B'Cholov. And the Chachamim objected because Basa B'Cholov is a Chidush. And the Gemara says it's a Chidush because if you could soak meat and milk together for who knows how long, and yet you're allowed to eat that combination. But if you cook it for just a minute, then the Torah prohibits it. So the Rabbanan therefore cannot derive Tam Ki Ikar from Basa B'Cholov. Basa B'Cholov is a Chiddush, and therefore you cannot derive Shari Surim from Basa B'Cholov. So the Gemara says, V'Rabbi Akiva Nami Basa B'Cholov Vadai Chiddushu. And if that be the case, then how does Rabbi Akiva derive Tam Ki Ikar and Shari Surim for Batsu B'Cholav? Ella says the Gemara Yolif Mi Geulei Nachrin. This is where we got up to yesterday. The Torah prohibits, in the Parsha of Kli Midjan, the Torah says that any Kalin that you take as a result of the spoils, the war against Midjan, those Kalim have to be put into the fire. That's called Libun, or Tavir Bamayim, which is Hagola. We have to get out the Tam of Isa that's absorbed in the walls of the Kli. And if a Jew would go ahead and cook in those Kalim, in the Kedera that they took from the Goyim, where the Goyim cooked in those Kederos, then the Tavshil that the Jew cooks in those Kederos is prohibited. And why is that? Because the Belia that's within the walls of the Kedera now enters into the Tavshil, and that bliya is a bliyas isur. So the Gemara says, Giulei Nachrim Lav Taima. Shouldn't we assume that the reason why the Torah says that you're not allowed to cook in these utensils, in these pots that you took as a spoil from the war, is because it has a tam? There's no mamoshes here. The kli itself that you took in spoil was clean, you cooked in a clean pot, and nevertheless the tavshil is also. So we see that the Torah prohibits tam even without the be'en, without the mamoshes. Is hochinami here too, in all isurim, lo shna, we're going to apply the principle that the tam generates an isur, and that means tam ki ikar, and the Torah considers tam as if it was the ikara isur. So therefore, according to Rabbi Akiva, if we derive from Gulei Nachrim the principle of Tam Ki Ikar, then we don't need Mishras in Nazir for that purpose, and we could use Mishras in Nazir to derive the principle of Heter Mitztar Fliyisur. And that is how the Gemara is now presenting the package of Rabbi Akiva, that we have two drashos, two different Yalfusos, one from the Parsha of Nazir, that's Mishras, one from the Parsha of Clay Midjan, and that's the din of Giulei Nachrim. The Parsha of Nazir and Mishras teaches us the halacha of Heter Mitztar Fliyisur. That means if he dips his bread into the yayin, and part of the bread is above the yayin, and it doesn't absorb the tam of the yayin, so that you would not apply Tam Ki Ikar to that part of the pas, and nevertheless, since he eats it in one gulp, in one mouthful, together with the yayin, he's got a chatzi zayis of yayin, a chatzi zayis of pas. The pas has no tam of yayin, and yet he's chayav malchus, and that's going to be the derivation from Mishras called Heter Mitztar Fliyisur. In a case, on the other hand, where he cooks Chelev or Nevelo or Dam or whatever you have it with Heter, and now the Tam enters into the heter. That's called tam ki'ikar. That's derived from ki'ulei nachrim. So those are the two drushos of Rabbi Akiva. Now, one of the issues that Tosus at least seems to address is how can you derive from Gulei Nachrim, as far as Nazir is concerned, the din of Tam Ki'ikar? We said over and over again that Nazir has three kulos that don't apply to other Isurim. So if you're going to derive Tam Ki'ikar from Gulei Nachrim, those are cases where the Isura is Isura Olam, there's no Hetel Isura, and in some cases it's Asur Bana. How can you derive from Giulei Nachrim Tam Ki'ikar in the case of Nazir? And Tosus answers that when the Torah prohibits clay midjan, it's included even Nazir, meaning that if the kalim were used for wine by the Midjanites, right, then there too the Torah is saying that you have to get rid of the tam of yayin, that's balua, in order to cook on behalf of a nazir. Meaning a nazir could not utilize those kalim that were absorbed with the tam of yayin, and that has to do with yayin nesach, meaning that the Midjanites would use their wines for libations, and therefore it was awesome. But that would be even for Yisrael. As far as a Nazir is concerned, there we're going to say that even if the guy did not use those wines for Avodas Kochavim, nevertheless, if the Kalim have an absorption of a Tam of Yayin, and now you want to use those Kalim on behalf of Nazir, it's prohibited. Either you have to do Agola, you have to do Limun, Tavir Beish, Tavir B'mayim, whatever it says there in the parasha. So we see that Tam Kikar applies even in the case of a Nazir. Now the Achronu asks the following kasha. How can you derive from Gulei Nachrim L'Kol HaTorah Kula Tamis Kikar? It's very possible that Gulei Nachrim, maybe the Torah prohibited because of Basa B'Cholav. Right, the Nachrim are cooking both milk and meat in the same pot. And then you come back to the old Chidushu, that in the case of Basa B'Chol, the Torah says that even if you soak it for hours and hours, Basa with Chol together, it's Mutter. But if you take Basa and Chol and you cook it for 1 minute, it becomes a Cheftzid Surah. And that made it into a Chidush. And the Gemara concluded that even Rabbi Akiva could not find the source for Tam Ki'ikar in Basa B'Cholav, because Basa B'Cholav is a Chidush, and even Rabbi Kiva admits to that fact. Elo what? We're going to derive the principle of Tam Ki'ikar according to Rabbi Kiva from Giulei Nachrim. So the Achronim want to know, the Krasi and the Plasi, they all ask, well, maybe the case of Giulei Nachrim is a case of Basa B'Cholav. They cooked both meat and milk in the same pot, and then we're back to square one, the old Chidush. The one who tries to reject this kasha is the Nesivos. The Nesivos, in his famous work on Yoredeya called the Chavos Das, says the following. That Tosus has already established that when the Torah prohibited clay nachrim, in the case of clay midjan, included in that is the Isur to a Nazir in kalim that we used and had a blia of yayin. Is therefore, we're going to derive Tam Ki'ikar from the case of Nazir, meaning from the case of Kalim that we used for wine, and therefore from that we're going to derive other Isurim. We don't have to derive it from Basa B'Cholav. And again, as the Plasi points out, we cannot derive it from Basa B'Cholav because Basa B'Cholav is a Chidush. But since, as Tosus pointed out, the Kalim that were prohibited from the spoils of the war with Minyan included even Kalim that had an absorption of Yayin on behalf of a Nazir. We're not allowed to use those Kalim. It seems, therefore, that we could derive the conclusion that Tam Ki'ikar applies not only in Basa B'Cholav, but by virtue of the Lima, the Alfusa from Clay Minyan, we could derive even Yayin for a Nazir, which is clearly not a Chidush, and therefore we can extrapolate as a Binyan Av that Tam Ki'ikar certainly applies to other Isurim as well. So the Nesivus goes on and offers a second answer, and he says that the Iser of Basav Chalav, we already know that we have to be Machshir Kalim that had a Blia of Basav Chalav in it. And therefore, why did the Pasuk in Klei Midjan, Kol Asher Tavo Baesh, Tavo Yavesh, etc., etc., at the end of Bamidbar, why did the Pasuk have to teach me anything about Basav Chalav? And the answer is that I need this parsha for other Isurim, in addition to Basa B'Cholav. And that's why we could derive Tam Ki'ikar. Now, everything seems to fit into place as far as Rabbi Akiva is concerned. As we said before, Rabbi Akiva has two Yalfusos. He's got Mishras in Nazir for Hetem and Starful Isur. He's got the parsha of Gilui Nachrim, from which he derives Tam Ki'ikar. But what about the Rabbanon? After all, the Rabbanon derived Tam Kika from Mishras in Nazir, and that's why they didn't have that Pasuk free to derive the conclusion of Rabbi Akiva of Hetem Itztarif Le'isa. And now the question comes to the fore. Why does the Rabbanon require Mishras to teach me Tam Ki'ikar? Why not derive Tam Ki'ikar, as Rabbi Akiva did, from Gilui Nachrim, which frees up Mishras to teach me Hetem Itztarif Le'isur? Sokta Gemara for Rabbanon Nami, Gilui Nachri Nami. Why don't we derive it from Gilui Nachri? And the Gemara answers, Gilui Nachrim Chidushu. Even Gilui Nachrim is a Chidush. That cannot serve as a Binyan Av, because as we said before, whenever it's a Chidush, you cannot derive any conclusions from a Chidush. A Chidush is something that undermines and flukes up all the rules and regulations. Now, what's the chiddush here of Gilui Nachrim? L'chora, the only chiddush is that Tam Ki'ikar. What are the chiddushes that makes Gilui Nachrim something that cannot be used to extrapolate and compare other Isurim? And here the Gemara is going to introduce a principle called No Sein Tam Lifgam. What we're going to assume is that during the course of the battle against Midjan, some of these Kalim, if not all of them, were overnight, meaning a night has passed from the time T1 that the Goyim cooked whatever they cooked in their pots, you know, Nevela, Treif, etc., until the time that the Jews took this booty and now want to cook in the pots. So the Rabbanim say there's no Tam Kikar over here. That's called a Tam Pogum. And the Gemara is going to derive later on from the Vela that a Tam Pogum is not a valid Tam. So that's going to be the Chiddush. And Kol Nosein Tam Lifgam Mutter, we're going to derive from the Vela the principle of Nosein Tam Lifgam. So a Tam has to be a Tam L'Shvach, otherwise the Torah doesn't recognize it as a Tam Isur. And in the case of Gilui Nachrim Hacha, even though it's a Tam Pogum, it's Asur. Now the assumption here, and I think it's at least on a Balabatish level, it's certainly a valid assumption, is that the Parsha of Klei Midyan prohibits Kalim that were not used by the Goyim this morning, what we call a Keder Bas Yoma, but they were used the night before, and possibly even 24 hours before. So if you hold what's called Linas Laila Pogemis, that a Tam becomes Pogum after the nighttime, so you cook at 7 p.m. on Sunday, and now you want to use the Kli at 7 a.m. the next morning on Monday, that's already a Tam Pogum. And the Rabbanan therefore assume, how could the Torah require Hechsher Kalim, meaning that the Tam, if you don't do Agola or Limun in the Kli, the Tam, which is Pogum, goes into the Tavshil when the Jew cooks his kosher meat in that Kedera. This is a Chiddush. This cannot fit in to our understanding based on the Torah, the restrictions of the Torah of Tam Ki'ikar. This is outside, beyond Tam Ki'ikar. And the Gemara says that Kol Shenosein Tam Lifgam Muta Degamrina Mina Vela. In the Parsha Nevela, the Torah says, Lo Sochlu Kol Nevela, La Ger Asher B'Sharecha Titenenov Yachola. And we derive from the seifa of the pasuk, that sheds a light on the reisha of the pasuk. The reisha says you should not eat nevela, but then the seifa of the pasuk says, what are you doing with that nevela? You're not going to eat it, but you're going to feed it to the ger. And a ger, under certain conditions, is allowed to receive this nevela and eat the nevela. But then we must be talking about a nevela haru'uyala ger, meaning the nevela is still edible. And it's something that the ger could enjoy. Then it's considered lo sochlu kol nevela. So when the Torah prohibits nevela, it prohibits a nevela which is like ger asher b'sherecha titnena, which is a nevela haru'uyala achila ra'uyala ger. But hacha, here in the case of gi'u'e nachru, the Torah says, despite the fact that the tam is a tam pogum, also, and if I take this kedera of the nachri and I cook in it, it generates an iser in the tavshil. Even though kvar shah hatam bidofen akli laila echad, Rashi says that the tam was already lingering overnight. And therefore, it's already hufag tamo, Rashi says. Niskalkel tamo. And the Torah didn't differentiate between kalim that are brand new or were recently used, and I took them from the as spoils of the war because in a case where they were used this morning, as opposed to other kalim, which were taken and were used by the Nachri yesterday. And in all cases, the Torah says you're not allowed to use these kalim that you took in spoils of war. Even though the kalim from that we used last yesterday are not mashbiach the tavshil when you cook in them, but rather the tam haniflat is now pogem the tavshil because in the bliya itself it became a tam pogu. Bliya meaning as it was absorbed or in that state of being absorbed in the walls of the kli, it's a tam pogu. And therefore, the Rabbanan say that Gilei Nachrim is a chidush. And if it's a chidush, then we cannot derive other isurim from the case of Gilei Nachrim. We have to revert back, we have no choice, but to the parish of Nazir and derive it from Mishras. Now, one of the questions that we have to deal with in this sugya is, so why did the Torah prohibit Gilei Nachrim, according to the Rabbanan, even in the case of kalim that we used last yesterday, which means that they were over Linus Lila, they were the blia became a blia of a tam pogu. And maybe we don't have an answer to that question. That could be chidushu. That exactly what chidush means. It really doesn't fit into the regulations, the patterns that govern the laws of tam ki'ikar. Now, first of all, let's point out that Rabbeinu Tam, not here, but in Masechta Avodah Zarah, is of the opinion that Linas Laila Pogemis. However, Rabbeinu Tam adds a condition. He says, that's only im omda kol halayla below Bishul. Only if you left the Kli overnight in a dormant state. Then we apply the principle of Laila Pogemis. And why is it so? Because he says, Ein Yodua Ma Gorem Lahafik Hatam. We're not sure exactly what caused the Tam to become Pogu. What do I mean? Says Rabbeinu Tam, is it Tchilas HaLaila, or Sof HaLaila, or Kol HaLaila? In other words, that we can never really determine exactly, according to Rabbeinu Tam, what caused the Tam to become a Tam Pogum. If it's Tchilas HaLaila, so then it could be that if you cooked in this pot during the course of the night, then maybe that tam pogum is no longer pogum. Therefore, Rabbeinu Tam requires that the kli remain dormant throughout the course of the night. And then we it's irrelevant whether it's Tchilas Laila or Emtzal Laila that is Pogame or the entire night has to be Pogame. We have all the conditions met. That's the Shita Rabbeinu Tam. However, there's another Shita called the Shita the Bala Truma, otherwise known as Rabbeinu Baruch, and Tosis quotes his Shita in Masechet Avodah Zarah that in order for the Tam to be a Tam Pogum, you've got to wait 24 hours. No less will do it. So as Rabbeinu Tam vacillates whether you need the entire night or part of the night to make it into Tam Pogum, and therefore we're going to have to make sure that you don't use the Kli during the entire course of the night. According to Rabbeinu Baruch, the Bala Truma, you need a full 24 hours to make the Tam into a Tam Pogum. And in the framework, in the context of the Baal Trumas, we're going to have to assume that the Chiddush of Gilei Nachrim is that we, since the Torah doesn't limit or qualify, and we therefore apply it in all cases, it means even Kalim that the Goyim hadn't used for the last 24 hours still require Libun Hagola, and that means that there's a chiddush in Giulei Noch. Now, there's also a Ritva in Masechet Avodah Zarah. All these Rishonim are on Daf Ayin Vav, or there's an earlier sugya in Avodah Zarah on Daf Samach Vav. And the Rishonim say the following, that Kedera Basioma Hainu Shebishel Ba Pam Achas Bilvat. This is the biggest kula of the Ritva on the list. You know, we had Rabbeinu Tam, and he was Mekil. If you didn't use the pot the whole night, it became a Tam Pogum. We had the Chumar of Rabbeinu Baruch Baal Truma, that you have to wait a full 24 hours. And now we have the biggest leniency, and that's the Ritva. Any pot that's quote-unquote old is a Tam Pogum. What makes a pot old? The fact that you used it more than once. A Kedera Bas Yoma doesn't mean that it was cooked in today, but what it means is that a brand new keli. As soon as there's any mixture of various bishulim inside the walls of the Kli, so you have not a Kedera Chadosha, but a Kedera Yishon, it's already been used in the past, that one use itself converts the Tam into a Tam Pogum. But if the Kli was used for the first time, then the Tam is a Tam Lishvach. Now, I'm not sure if the Ritva is also a Chumrah, because if the guy used the Kli for the first time for Nevelis and Trefus, it could be that that makes it into a Tam Lishvach even after a month and even after a year. I don't know. I'll read to you the language of the Ritva. Ritva says, Kedera Bas Yoma, Hainu Kedera Chadosha, Shebishlu Ba Pam Achas Bilvat. Notice the guy used it for Trefus once. That constitutes or categorizes the Kli as a basyom. Hatam Shaba Eino Nifgam, listen to the language of the Tva, Afilu Yachar Zman. You hear what the Ritva is adding, Afilu Yachar Zman. So on the one hand, the Ritva is a great kula, because if the guy cooked in this pot twice, it's already considered a Tam Pogum. But on the other hand, if this is the first time and the only time that the guy cooked in the pot, it becomes a Kedera Bas Yoma. That gives it a status. And the Shem Bas Yoma continues ad infinitum. Afil Yachar Zman. That's a Chumrah. He says, Avol Kedera Shebishlo Ba Pamayim, if he cooked twice in the pot, Hatamim Hem Shonim Zemizeh. Again, you might argue, well, what difference does it make if he cooked nevela from from the head, and then he cooked nevela from the thigh? I mean, it's the same basa nevela. Nein. He says every bishul is unique and generates its own tam. Va'tamim hashonim hanivloim bo pogmim zet zet. Umuteres, meaning the kder is muteres in such a case, afilu bi oso yom shebishluba. Unreal. Who would dream that you could have a kedera that was used for nevela today, and you're allowed to cook in it? Kosher meat. And there's no tam because the tam is pogum. And why? Because the guy cooked twice today. And kolshkeit if he cooked once yesterday and once today. And the lumdus here, the ritva, again, when people, that's what the Rav used to always say about kashrus before Reb Chaim, it was just pots and pans. So if you want to look at this all from a physical perspective, I don't know. Tamim shonim zeh mizeh, and one tam is poging the other tam. You know what I'm saying? That's like a little bit far out on a physiological level. But in halachic categories, he's defining a keder bas yoma. A keder bas yoma is an entity unto itself. So again, let's just understand that if the Torah had prohibited only a kli that you took from Midjan that was used today, then according to both Rabbeinu Tam and Rabbeinu Baruch the Bala Truma, that would not be a chiddush, because that's a tam l'shvach. According to Rabbeinu Tam, if the Torah prohibited even a kli that was used yesterday, 12 hours ago, going into yesterday at night, then that's a chiddush already. According to the Baal Trumas, if the Torah is prohibiting even a kli that was used 24 hours ago, that was its last use for the Veil and Trefa, that's a chiddush. And according to the Ritva, if the kli was used twice, and yet the Torah requires Hechsher, that's a chiddush. If the kli was used once today, then that's not a chiddush. And not only that, if it was used once yesterday, or for that matter a month ago, that's not a chiddush at all. But since the Torah says that even though these kelim were used multiple times, nevertheless they need hechsher, that's a tam pogum according to the Ritva. Now, again, on a d'oraisa level, the Torah's chiddush here would be that even though the guy hasn't used the kli for a full night, or if you go with the Baal Trumas, a full day of 24 hours, so the last bishul was 24 hours ago, and the Torah still requires hagola, that would be a chiddush. Now, lamaisa, after all is said and done, a tam pogum is mutter. Again, I'm not saying you're allowed to cook in the kli, that's another gzera, but a tam pogum, if you cooked in an ena ben yomo, is mutter. So how do we reconcile the final psak halacha with the sugya here of the Rabbanan calling it a chiddush? Rabbi Akiva is very good. Rabbi Akiva says that we have a principle here of chiddush. Correct? So that, let me get the names right here. Sorry. According to Rabbi Akiva, the Gemara is going to analyze now, Gili Nachrim is the source for Tam Kikar, and it's not a chiddush. The Gemara is going to try to explain that in the very next line. But let's go back to the Rabbanan Shita. The Rabbanan hold that we cannot derive Tam Ki'ikar from the Parsha of Giulei Nachrim because that's a Chiddush. Which means that even though the Tam is Pogum, the Torah requires Hechsher. How then do we square that with our Psak Halacha, that if the kli was only used 24 hours ago, or the night passed, etc., it's mutter? And he writes here, in Oslamet Beis here, he says, Im avra al kli laila echad, That's according to Rabbeinu Tam, Esrim v'Arbashos, according to the Valachuma. Mizman she bishlubo, from the last time it was used for Yisur, Mutal ishtamish bo below Hagola. Okay, on the Deraisal, again, there are drabonans here, but Shatama Bolua Kvar Nifgal Ubikli Mijon, Clay Mijon, Afshikvar Ovar Lila Echad, Mishalokhu Osamia Mijonin, Mikomakom, Hayusham Kalim Sheshtamshu Behem, Hatafa Noshim, Shehechu Lahem Bnei Yisrael. Okay, this is a whole new presentation of the Ritva again, that they took the children and the women from Midjan, and they cooked in these pots, and it's a Tam L'Shvach. Afal Pishayu Yecholim Lahashas Akelim Ad L'Mochar. Technically, they could have waited overnight or 24 hours before they used the kelim. The afal pichay mikomakom haTorah amra hechsher. This is the hechsher that you require, and it's hagol and libun, and so forth. So that it seems to me that the Ritva is saying that the element of Chiddush here is not that the Torah was telling you that b'di'evet, if you cooked in this kli and it's an Einar Ben Yoma, that the tavshil that you cook in it is asur, but rather if you can determine that the kli was used yesterday or right, whatever yesterday means, then it's mutter. But the Torah says that we have a problem because since they took the women and the children captive in the war, and therefore they may have cooked in these kelim today, therefore the Torah says instead of waiting till tomorrow and allowing the kli to become an Einar Ben Yomo and the tam becomes pogum, the Torah gave us the laws and the requirements of hechsher kelim. That's the element of Chiddush. Now he quotes in the footnote here, he quotes the placey. Wait just one second. And the placey says that Bnei Yisrael bishlu v'chimvu mayim v'kderos shalokhu me'amidjonim kodem shenitztavu lachsherom. That Klal Yisrael already went ahead and they cooked in these pots that they took from the midjonim before they got the command of Hechsher Kelim, and Kedera Shehuchnu Bo Mayim Kodim Sheovar Laila Echemin Anivshmi Shenis Bashabo Ha'iser Chashuva Bas Yoma Ad Sheyavar Me Esleis Mizman Shehuchmu Bo Hamayim. So this is the Chiddush of the Placey, Rabbi Yonasan Ibishitz. He says that even if the last time you cooked in the pot was more than Lila or 24 hours, but you heated up water in this pot, water is kosher. Nevertheless, you have to wait another 24 hours or overnight to use the pot again. The water that you cooked in the pot now makes the tam ki'ilu atam l'shvach. So we don't go back to the last time you cooked nevela and trefa, but rather we calculate the meis leis, let's say according to the Baal Teshuvas, from the last time you cooked in the pot, even if what you cooked in the pot is just water. So because the Jewish people, when they took the clay midjan, they cooked hot water in the pot, let's say just giving one example, they heated up water in the pot. Therefore, the tam of the blias nevela trefa from the goyim is considered a tam l'shvach, even though it's already been past Lila and maybe even past 24 hours. And that's why the Torah requires Hechsher. Now again, the technical issue here, whether it's the Ritva or the Plesi, is going to be how to define the Chiddush. What is the Chiddush? If you're telling me that the Tam is actually a Tam L'Shvach, either because of the Ritva's variation that the women and children that they took from Midian as captive, they cooked in the pot today, or if you take the Plesi that we, the Jewish people, before we got the Tzivui of Hechsher Kelim, we went ahead and we cooked water in the pot, and therefore we require Hechsher because it's a Bas Yomo. So what is the Chiddush here of Giulei Nachrim? Meaning the Gemara says that the reason why the Rabbanan could not derive Tam Ki'ikah from Giulei Nachrim is because it's a Chiddush, because it's a Tam Lifgam. Well, now you're telling me that if it was a Tam Lifgam, then we'd be allowed to use those Kelim. So where is the Chiddush? And the Chiddush is that we could have allowed these Kelim to become a Tam Lifgam, and yet the Torah required Hechsher. And he writes that Af La Sovrim Shebechol Yisurim Tam Eino Ki'ikar. Even if I would hold that Tam Eino Ki'ikar, V'Giulei Nachrim Heim B'lias Tam Shel Kol Minei Yisurim. So now we're saying that there's one man, the Omer is going to say that in Shari Surim, Tam Eino Ki'ikar, Giulei Nachrim are a B'li of all sorts of types of Yisurim. Mikol Makom, Maile Hisha Osa Torah Bekelim Li Osro. The Torah said that even though there's no din of Tam Ki'ikar, nevertheless the Torah prohibited these Kelim, and that's called a Maile Hisha Osa Torah Li Kelim Elu. And this is a whole nother approach to understand Chidushu. What we're saying is that Tam is not Ki'ikar. Even if it would be a Tam L'Shvach, it's not Ki'ikar. And the Rabbanu could not derive Tam Ki'ikar from Giulei Nachrim. I, the Torah, requires Hechsher. Maile Hisha Osas the Torah Bekelim Liosram. The Torah said, and we don't know why, that there's an Isur to cook in these Kelim that you took from the Midjanim, from the Nachrim. And the Ramban has a beautiful analogy here. He says, Kishem Shetzricha Torah Lahatvil Kli Chadosh Hanilkach min hanochri. I purchased a brand new kli, a metal kli, from a guy. And the Torah says that I have to take the kli and I have to be tovel it in a mikvah. Why? Because it belonged to a guy. It's a brand new kli. It has no blia. So too, the Torah says that the tam bolua in a kli that was used by a guy to cook in is osur until you do agolo libun, despite the fact that Tam is Lifgam. So it's amazing. It comes out, according to the Ramban, that if a Jew cooks Nevela in a Kli, then when the Kli becomes a Pogum, an Eina Ben Yoma, everything's Mutter. But if a guy cooks in that Kli, then the Torah said, you know what? You need Hagol and Libum. Why? Because it's like Tevila and Mikvah. Again, you'll need both Hagola and Tevila. You'll need tefillah because that the kli is considered tameh because it was owned by a guy. And you'll need agola because there once was a tam l'shvach of isur bolua in the kli. Today it's a tam bolua. The Torah says it's a kli nachri, and a kli nachri needs agola. Wild idea of the Ramban. Again, you have to keep in mind where the Ramban is coming from. He's got our sugya that says that Giulei Nachrim applies even to a Tam Pogum. And he's got La Locha L'maisa. We know that a Tam Pogum is Mutter. So how do you reconcile this? And he wants to say it's a separate halacha in Kelim of a guy. Just like we have a separate halacha of Tevila. Of course, you know, the Ramban is quoted in the Berak HaBayis of the Rashba and the Ra'ah, and they reject the Ramban. And they say that you can't compare Tevila to Hagola. Tevila is for purpose of Tara. Hagola is to remove the Blias Isur. And if you're telling me that the Blia is Muta because it's a Tampogum, you can't compare that to Hagola, to Tevila and a Mikvah. The Ramban says that L'chora din zeh nemar dafka bekelim klei nochri. What about Klei Yisrael? Did the Torah make this milah that we said that you require agola in a kli shebolabo isur, that it should generate some sort of an isur namachal if you cook in it? And the Ramban sort of leaves this as an open question. I understand one side of the Ramban's sofik, namely that this is a separate halacha in kli nachrim, and then the Ramban justifiably compares it to the requirement of tefillah. But in the second side of the Ramban is saying that even if Yisrael cooked in it, we would still have this mile of requiring hagolah. And he's talking about a doraisa level. He's not talking about the gzera of eno ben yomo, otu ben yomo, that if we allow him to cook in an eno ben yomo, he might come to cook in a ben yomo. He's talking about the parsha of Gilei Nachrim, to derive the biblical conclusion that even though the time is pogum, we still need Hechsher Kelim. We're not allowed to use the Kli. And the Meiri writes in the name of the Gedolei Adoros, Shedin Zed Noeg Af B'Kli Yisrael. He accepts the second side in the Sufik of the Ramban. V'chein Kosev Anod B'Yehuda, Shechidush Zed Nemar Gam B'Kelim Shel Yisrael. And the place he says that the Rashba, as we saw, Berek Abaye says, Lo Nemar Chidush Zed El B'Klei Noch. So again, this is a very fascinating halacha of a lechatchila requirement of hagola, according to one side in the Ramban, and according to the final maskana of the Meiri in the name of the Gedolei Adoros, hagola, but if you cooked in the pot without hagola, everything's mutter. It's a tampog. And again, if you told me that on a Darabonan level, I'm on board. But to derive that from the parsha of Gilei Nachrim, that Enochinami, as the Rabbanan say, Gilei Nachrim is a gewaldige chiddush, because the Tam is no doubt a Tam Pogum. Not like the Ritva, who assumes that they took captives from the Goyim, the Noshim, and the Taf, who cooked on it today. Nor like the Hafla, the Plesi, who says that the Jews cooked in the pots before they got the tzivui of Hagolah. But simply, we took these kelim, they're eno b'nei yomo, and they require Hagolah. Why? Because maila osu b'klei akum. And now to take that maila and apply it on a doraisa level to kelim that belong to a Jew, and the Jew cooked nevela treif in the kli, and you need Hagolah, even if the tab is pogu. And even if you were to cook in the pot, the tavshil is mutter, but you need agola. I mean, that's a chiddush. Now we understand very well, we can appreciate why the Chacham called this a chiddush. For Rabbi Akiva, how did he learn the parsha of Gilei Nachri? Because he saw it as the source for the halacha of Tam Ki'ikar. Kid Rabbi Chia, Bered Rav Huna Diomar, Lo Osra Torah, Ela B'Kdera Basyoma. That you have to add a whole new paragraph into the parsha of Gilei Nachrim, there in Bamidbar, in the Milchemes Midjan. And there's a restriction here. The Torah is not saying that every keli that you took from the Goyim requires Hagolo Libun, but only if the kli was used today, right, in Basyoma, which, again, according to the Torah, that means it was used only once. Hilkach, Lav no Saint Tamlif Gamhu, if the cooking of the nevela treif was done today, therefore the tam that's in the, that's bolua in the tav, in the kedera, and now it's niflat in the tavshil, is a tam l'shvach, and therefore there's no chiddush here in Gilei Nachrim, and it could serve now as a paradigm, as a binyanav, for all other isurim, and this is the source for tam ki'ikar, according to the shita of Rabbi Akiva. V'rabbanan. Now let's explain the svara of the Chachamim. They say that the din of Gilei Nachrim is a chidush. They hold Kedera Bas Yoma Nami Lo Efsha De Lo Pagma Purta. even if you were to agree with Rabbi Akiva that the Torah requires Gilei Nachrim in a Kedera Bas Yoma, and only in a Kedera Bas Yoma, even so, it's a Chiddush, because it's still a Tam Pogum. A Tam that comes from the walls of the Kli is always a Tam Pogum. When it penetrates after the cooking, which was done an hour ago, into the walls of the Kli, and it's absorbed in the walls of the Kli, it's already impacted by the Kli, and it's a Tam Pogum. It's got that metallic taste. I'm just kidding. So gam kedera shebishlu ba bioso ayom I efsha shatam bolua ba lo yipoge ma'at. There's going to be some element of pgam. Machmas taimo shalakli, what I call the metallic element. He calls it taimo shalakli. And again, according to Rabbi Akiva, he holds that if it's kedera bas yoma, there's no pgam at all. It's a tam l'shvach. And therefore, the Torah is being mechadish in the parish of Gilui Nochrim, Tam Ki Ikar. The Rabbanan, on the other hand, are of the opinion that this is a Tam Pogum, even though it's a Kedera Bas Yoma, and the Torah prohibited it, and this is therefore a Chiddush. We cannot derive from this parsha other Isurim. This cannot serve as the source for Tam Ki Ikar, because of the nature of the Chiddush. And here I just want to add one note. And he says that L'das Rabbanon Ein l'chalik ben k'deir bas yoma l'sha'ener bas yoma shtein asuros. The Rabbanon are saying that if the Torah prohibited kelim that were taken from the Nochri, even if it's a bas yoma, then the Torah is prohibiting it even if it's an Eino Bas Yoma, because in both cases the Tam is a Tam Pogum. Kevan Shakedera Bas Yoma Tam Pogum V'yafal Pikein Osrosa Torah Im Kein Osra Torah Kol Tam Pogum V'ein L'chalik Ben Pgima Mu'etes Shel Kedera Bas Yoma L'Pgima Meruba Shel Kedera She'ena Bas Yoma. And all that you'll find in the last Tosfos on the Omud. Now, Tosfos in Avodah Zarah writes that L'Rabbanan, according to the Shitas Rabbanan of Rabbi Akiva, Ein Iser Ela B'Kedera Bas Yoma Shepgimasa Mu'etes. We're not going to make that leap of faith and say, well, if the Torah prohibited a Kedera Bas Yoma, despite the fact that it has a Pgimu Mu'etes, then the Torah is going to prohibit even a Kedera She'ena Bas Yoma, Mali Pgima Mu'etes, Mali Pgima Gdola. No, says Tosfos, what we're talking about here is only a Kedera Bas Yoma. Since the Pgima, the Pgam is minimal, the Torah requires Hagola. But if it's a profound Pgam, because it wasn't used in the last 24 hours, such a Kli, the Torah, according to Tosfos in the Rabbanan Shita, never required Giulei Nach. Now again, the Machlokas boils down between Rabbi Kiva and the Rabbanan to the status of a Kedera Bas Yoma. Rabbi Kiva understood a Kedera Bas Yoma as a Tam L'Shvach. And if the Torah says that it's Asur, when you cook in that pot without Hechsher, because it was used today for Nevelos and Trefes, that's the source for Tam Ki Ikar and Mishras for Heta Mitztarif Lisa. But if I would accept the Rabbanan's perspective that a Kedera Bas Yoma, because it's already Bolu in the Kli, is an element of Tam Pogum, and the Mitzvah's Tam Pogum is enough to generate a Chiyuv, a requirement of Hechsher Kelim, that's already a Chiddush, because the Tam is already a Tam Pogum in Mitzvah's. And it would be more logical to assume, like one day in Tosfos, that once you prohibit a Tam Pogum Miktas in the case of a Kedera Bas Yoma, then according to Rabbanu, we should prohibit even a Kedera She'ena Bas Yoma, which has a full-fledged Tam Pogum. But Tosfos here insists that no, according to Rabbanu, the Torah only required Hagol in the case of a Kedera Bas Yoma, because the Pogam is only a minimal Pogam, but we're not going to derive the conclusion that the Torah would have required Hagola in a case of Eino Bas Yoma. How do you know whether a Kli is a Bas Yoma or an Eino Bas Yoma? do we have any cameras, you know, security cameras that could testify that the guy who went out to battle and we took his kalim or the you know, oref, you know, back behind the enemy lines, that they cooked today, yesterday? This I don't know. In fact, I would insist that if we're dealing with a doraisa, then we should apply the principle of suffik doraisa l'chumra, and if we don't know exactly when the last cooking was, we're going to require agola. And again, all this only arises if you hold like either Rabbi Akiva, that the Torah only requires agola in a case of basyoma, or according to Tosfos, who has a shita that according to the Rabbanon, if we knew that the keder is an ena besyoma, we would not require hagola. The Torah doesn't require it. It's a tam pogum. Only in the case of a miktas pogum did the Torah go so far as to require hagola. But again, I don't know whether this was cooked in today or yesterday or the day before, and I might be well advised to do hagola out of suffek. Now, Rabosai, we're about to end our discussion for today. I just want to give a little bit of haschola on the sugya of Rabbi Yochanan. And if you recall, Rabbi Yochanan back on Daf Mem Gimel and Beis derived the conclusion that heter mitztaref le'isur from the parsha of Nazir. In the Isur Nazir it says Mishras, but although he identified Rabbi Akiva's sheet as such, he refused to derive other isurim from Nazir. So the Gemara says, I don't understand it. If the Parsha of Nazir teaches us Hetem Mitztaref L'Isur, why do you limit it to the case of Nazir? Then the Gemara asks another kasha. Amalei Rav Acha Bereid Rav Avya L'Rav Ashi. Rabbi Akiva said that only in the case of Nazir do we apply the principle of Hetem Mitztaref L'Isur. In other Isurim, we don't have it. I don't understand. Why should we derive other Isurim from Nazir? And the Gemara says, "Mid Rabbanan Nishma Rabbi Akiva." The Rabbanan said, "In the case of Mishras, we're going to derive the conclusion of Tam Ki Iker, and from Mishras in Nazir, we'll derive Tam Ki Iker in Shari Surim with the Kal V'chomer that we discussed at great length. Why shouldn't Rabbi Akiva apply the same yardstick and the same rules to Hetem Mitztaref L'Isur?" Milo Amri Rabbanan Mishras Litein Tam Ki Iker. Is Rabbi Akiva Nami Mishras Lehetem Mitztaref L'Isur Mikana Tadon L'Chol Isur Shabbat Torah? This is the question that Rav Acha asked Rav Ashi. Why would Rabbi Akiva limit this breakthrough principle of Hetem Mitztaref L'Isur derived from Mishras and Nazir to the Isur Nazir? Why not apply it to all Isurim? Just like the Rabbanan derived from Mishras and Nazir Tam Ki Iker in all Isurim. And that's called Mikana Todan L'Chol Isurim Shabbat Torah. Why doesn't Rabbi Akiva say Mikana Todan L'Chol Isurim Shabbat Torah with regard to Hetem Mitztaref L'Isur Malay? So Rav Ashi responds that since Rabbi Akiva derived from Mishras in Nazir, Hetem Mitztaref L'Isur, you cannot derive it for other Isurim to derive the conclusion of Hetem Mitztaref L'Isur. On the top of Mem Hey, Mishum Davi Nazir V'Chatos, Shnei K'sum Abom Kech, V'chol Shnei K'sum Abom Kech Rei Malat. So in addition to Nazir, where we derive from Mishras Hetem Mitztaref L'Isur, even in Chatos, the Torah says that Hetem is Mitztaref L'Isur, and therefore the Pasuk in Nazir and the Pasuk in Chatos, both of which teach us Hetem Mitztaref L'Isur, Shnei K'sum Abom Kechad, and Ein Malamta. We don't derive other dinim. When the Torah says it twice, then we don't derive it from those two times to other dinim. Because if it was meant to be a binyanav, the Torah would have told me once, and that would have been sufficient. And now the Gemara is going to ask, where in Chatos do we find Hetem Mitztaref L'Isur? Nazir ha'adamoran, we saw Mishras, and that teaches me Hetem Mitztaref L'Isur. But in the case of Chatos, Mayhi Desanya, and here in the parasha of Chatos, in Vayikra Vav, we're going to derive from the Pasuk Kol Asher Yiga Bibsora Yikdash the principle of Heter Mitztaref L'Isur. B'li Neder, on Yom Rishon, we'll pick this up. So let's just make a note that we got to the top of Daf Mem Hei Amud Aleph, and that's where we'll pick it up. Bli Neder on Yom Rishon. Wishing you a great Shabbat.